this episode of Therapy Bites Art Lab.
Hey there, T-Ballers. Thank you for joining us today for our Therapy Bites podcast. Have you ever wondered why God allows evil in this world? Well, stay tuned.
Welcome to Therapy Bites Art Lab, where Dr. Heath and his special guests share real-life stories of helping and healing. Fresh from the actual therapy couch, while taking a bite out of common counseling missteps and misconceptions. And now, here's Heath and the T-Ball team.
Hey guys, this is part two of Is God a Great Gumball Machine in the Sky? And we are all believers in the room. You're welcome to your belief system. We greatly value and respect that. Our belief system is a Christian belief system. Just kind of, you know, gets me through the day. And I think it's my colleagues through the day. We don't push that on anybody. We bring it into therapy when folks ask us to bring it into therapy. And it's just a tool. But there is a big kerfuffle in the Christian community over a recent documentary about the Hillsong Church, and it's on Hulu. I recommend, if you're interested in that kind of thing, to watch it. But we got from that this title episode about God being a gumball machine. And we tackled on part one, which we recommend you go back and listen to, about what to do when people that lead churches, like pastors, disappoint you, what to do when, you know, you catch a Sunday school teacher doing something they ought not. And we talked that humans are best at doing one thing, and that's being a human. And humans err, humans make mistakes, humans stumble, and we're not trying to give anybody a free pass, but if you're basing your faith on what it should be based on, which is not a human, you can be so much more spiritually healthy and therefore psychologically healthy. But today we're going to talk about what happens when God disappoints you. Anybody out there been disappointed by God? And what are the mechanics of that? I first got into Christianity. Well, really, I was going to church as a little boy in Goodlettsville, Tennessee. And I then later became a Christian living in Arkansas back in 1984. And now all these many years later, you know, it's actually not what I thought it was going to be. Have your perceptions of church and of Christianity changed since you guys got into it?
Definitely.
From the get-go. In what ways have it changed?
For me, it's become more about the relationship with God, because, you know, with a lot of churches, and not as much with our church, but with a lot of churches, there's a lot of the straight up religion and the traditions and everything like that. But for me, it's more about my relationship with God and talking to him as I would like my father, or even sometimes as a friend, because he does refer to us as his children. And that's become, well, a very important part of my life, especially when I'm struggling. I seem to be closer to him in the struggles than even when things are, you know, kind of going the way that I would want them to go. And I think that kind of comes back to our talk about disappointment. Anytime I've been disappointed in God, it's been more about me than it has been about him, because I wasn't getting what I wanted.
And is that because God is taking that away from you, or forbidding that, or maybe he's just kind of a Grinch? Because a lot of people look at God that way, that God could, but he chooses not to. And of course, some of you are familiar with the famous book written by Rabbi Harold Kushner. Unfortunately, I think that was after the death of his son, where Kushner couldn't understand that how could a good God, you know, a omnibenevolent God, who is also omnipotent, all-powerful, and omnipresent, everywhere and all-knowing, omniscient, how can you be all those things at the same time and allow the death of a child? But people view that if you're omniscient and evil happens, it's the same as you being evil itself, because you've allowed it to happen. And Kushner came to the conclusion, if I can get the words out there, the conclusion that you can be omnibenevolent, all good, or omnipotent, all-powerful, but you can't be both. I watched the rest of that documentary, and the saddest part was not what these so-called spiritual people at the heights of Christendom did. The most disappointing part was at the end of it, all the people that just gave up on Christianity totally. And some actually became an atheist and now claim that they're happier as an atheist. And this is, I think, a misunderstanding and a misplacement of faith. But how do you reconcile those things, guys? How have you reconciled them in your life?
Personally, for me, I look at it as kind of like Sarah said with the relationship, but I also look at the free will. Because if we had a God who things were going well only because he was doing stuff that we wanted and that we wanted it to go that way, then would it really be a choice to choose him because it would always be the easy way? Isn't it better when you have a challenge and you still choose to follow him through those challenges and through knowing that he still loves you, but he does it to help, like he allows it to happen to help you grow and to help you maybe help someone else who's going through that, who maybe isn't a Christian, and you can help them by telling them how you got through it, and it can be a good witness to them. And it's just kind of, it's that free will of choice that you're choosing him over not choosing him.
Do you have a specific situation where that's helped you?
I've had a lot of medical issues growing up and a lot of just different hard things happen. It is really easy to, when you're going through something or when bad things are happening, to blame God because he is, you know, you have this, you watch these Christian videos and watch these Christian movies and everything goes right for them. They get saved and it's like a walk in the park. Everything turns around and you have this cushy life, and that's not real life. That's movies. That's Hollywood. Like, people don't think of it as Hollywood because it's a Christian film, but it's Hollywood. That's not what Christianity is. And so when you go through something difficult, whether it's medical problems or, you know, other things in life that kind of rock your faith or just rock your life in general, it's hard to think about somebody allowing that to happen, because everything within us, we're like, well, I would want to save that person and help them from going through it. You know, personally, when I was going through it, I didn't want anything to do, like, I didn't want to go to church. I didn't want anything to do with God. I didn't want anything to do with Christians. You mentioned it, and I just shut down because I was just like, well, don't tell me that I was made this way or that, you know, that God wants me this to happen. Like, that's just not helpful. And I would shoot everything down. But when you really look at the Bible and you look at the stories and you look at the things that they went through and the different trials that people went through and had, and you see how, like, a big one for me is like Mary Magdalene and what she went through. And then, you know, with the storm and Peter walking on the water, because we have storms in our lives all the time. And when he was focused on God and he was focused, you know, on him, he was walking on water, but then he got distracted by the storms and he fell. But God didn't let him drown. He struggled for a bit, but God grabbed him and pulled him up and held him close and helped him, you know, back to the boat. And even though we go through hard times and things don't go the way we want them to, we're not left to just drown.
The Therapy Bites podcast is HIPAA compliant. No identifying patient information will be disclosed by Therapy Bites podcast hosts or Therapy Bites podcast guests without permission from patients or guardians. All personal stories are de-identified in order to comply with HIPAA, the NASW Code of Ethics, and the Ethical Principles of Psychologists and Code of Conduct. Fresh from the therapy couch and from the deep dark recesses, stories may involve exploding preconceived notions and topics uncomfortable to underthinkers and small farm animals. Audience discretion and duct taping your head for safety is advised. Concrete-headed Kool-Aid drinking humans assume all risks associated with any possibility of choking to death on the accurate, realistic thoughts presented in the Art Lab. This is natural selection, and Therapy Bites podcast management and hosts are not responsible.
Hey guys, Doc Heath here with Fresh from the Therapy Couch. We often have Christians come in, people of faith, people of belief, and they really struggle with how to deal with spirituality in counseling. And this is going to be to the therapists out there. You might have had it drilled through your head like I did, especially in undergrad school, that faith, Christianity, Bible is a no-no, and that is absolutely false information. You are welcome to use anything that your patient, that your client brings to the table that is useful for them. If you find out they're a person of faith, that becomes a tool for you. And so go ahead and use that. You can really exponentially accelerate therapy by using one of the things which is so important to, oh goodness, billions of people on the planet. Why would you leave that out? Enjoy the rest of the episode.
You're listening to Therapy Bites Art Lab. Bite-sized therapy for your brain with Dr. Heath and the T-Ball Team. The best advice on the net. No copay required.
For full show notes and transcript of today's episode, go to therapybites.podbean.com.
Here's Heath and the T-Ball Team.
That is a wonderful story. And Heather, as you're speaking that, what's that called? You guys told me what that was called one time, an ASMR experience. Oh, yeah, because I have chills running down my spine as Heather's giving that. So I think what a wonderful story that is. I think you're exactly right that there's something I would like for you to guys consider and see if you can fit this together with what Heather said, and that is people often think, Christians think, that God can do anything, and it's just not so. God self-limits. What's the biggest thing God can't do? Well, there's two. The first is he can't do that which is against his nature. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if God's nature is good, not evil, then that literally means that God cannot do evil. It is just not in his repertoire. The second thing that God self-limits is stepping over the boundary of your free will. God will not rescue you or me from my bad decisions. Does God want to help and protect his children? He would prefer to do that, but from a God's eye view, he looks at it differently. He looks at it as something that may build resilience, deepen the relationship, and that God, when you grieve, God grieves with you. God is not there to rescue you from difficulty, but to walk with you through difficulty. Think about this. If your belief is that being a Christian means God's going to rescue you from flat tires, difficult relationships, cancer, and that's what you think, then what does that say about someone else when they go through cancer? I tell you what some Christian people say, you must have sin in your life. Mm-hmm. Well, that's just terrible theology. You had a flat tire, must have done something wrong today. Why? Because what you do is in charge of the nails that you run over in the road. Did you do this on purpose? So it's really unsatisfactory to point everything back to God did it to me. When I was a kid, we listened to Flip Wilson talk about the devil made me do it. And these days it's, you know, God sent the hurricane, God sent the tornado, God did protect me from this, that, or the other. When we really misunderstand God's place in the universe. How do you guys deal with some of those crises of faith when you have them?
Well, a verse that keeps coming to my mind that I live by and I share with people a lot is in James. It's James chapter 1, 2 through 4. Got it here. It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." It says when. It doesn't say if. It says when. And it says trials of many kinds, different kinds of trials, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything.
Yeah, if there's never anything to lift with your faith, then you will have a weak faith. Our purpose here is just kind of help you understand possibly the place of faith in your life. And it's not a cure-all. Christians still struggle. Christians still get sick. Christians still die. Christians still, maybe some of them, I don't, want a Cadillac and don't get it, or want to be a movie star and don't become a movie star, or really work hard at their relationship and it's still a struggle. Listen, if you're not struggling in your relationship, then you're floating downstream in your relationship along with it. What are some final thoughts, folks?
For me, what I think back to, and actually I didn't think of this until we went and saw a theater production from Sight and Sound called Jesus. And Jesus suffered. Jesus went, he never sinned because he went, you know, he was the ultimate sacrifice for our sins, but he still had trials and he still had troubles and he still had times where he didn't want to necessarily do it. Like when he was in the garden praying, when he was about to go to the cross and he knew that he was going to die and take all the sin on of the world. And he said, you know, he mentioned that he didn't, you know, if you can take this cup from me, please do, but I will ultimately do your will. And I think that's where Christians sometimes don't get it right, is like, just because something went wrong doesn't mean you're sinning in your life, because even Jesus at times had trials and he didn't want things to happen, but ultimately where the differences lie is he still chose to do the right thing and he still chose to go to the cross, even though he knew it would be painful and that he would be mocked and scorned and people wouldn't, you know, people would, that Peter would deny him and that he would take on the sin of the world, but he still went and did it. But just because he went and did it doesn't mean he didn't struggle with it.
Of course. And one of my favorite scriptures, and I can't quote it exactly, is that Christ suffered in every way and had all the common regular experiences that any human had. Jesus himself experienced every single difficult emotion, sad, mad, disgusted, ashamed, stressed, depressed, anxious, angry, all of them, the whole show, and on purpose, because in order for him to be who he was, he had to fully be human and fully have a human experience. What does it mean when you as a Christian struggle with difficult emotions? Does it mean there's sin in your life? No, it means you're human. If you got things in your life, by the way, sin means missing the mark. If you're missing the mark in your life, well, recognize it and, you know, improve your aim. But just because you're struggling mentally, just because you're struggling with some things in your brain, that doesn't mean anything about your faith. It doesn't mean anything about your spirituality. And you pastors and preachers and televangelists out there telling people this stuff, that you're struggling because you have sin in your life or you're not giving the church enough money. Listen, stop it. Or we're going to bury you in a box. No, that's a Bob Newhart thing. Look that up. That's a funny thing, Bob Newhart. No, we're not going to bury you in a box. Listen, take responsibility and start speaking truth to people. And that's just not the truth. Just because you have struggles doesn't mean that you're not a Christian. Okay, guys, thank you for joining us. Get out there, share this out with somebody that might be in their own crisis of faith, and base your faith on the one and only thing that it should be based on, and that is your relationship with your Creator. Catch you next time. Bye-bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Hey, T-Ballers. Thanks so much for being with us today. If we brought value to your day, show us some love by leaving your positive feedback and inviting some friends to listen in and join the T-Ball team.